God bless you guys. God bless the world, buddy. Let's go race.
This is the Loud Pedal Podcast. A very diverse cast of automobile racing characters. With your host, NBC Sports television analyst and part-time midget racer, it's D. Welch and Mr. Dylan Welch.
Yeah, you damn right I got that
flagman out there.
Oh, that stupid-ass flagman. They got a dumb-ass flagman that can't see.
And an expert in only one category, food.
Yeah. Look how big those things are.
Little meat on the bone there.
And cooked perfect.
Well, sometimes racing, but mostly food.
When you're talking a meal, like, well, I'm about to die, I will ask for 15 to 20 chicken wings.
It's Heavy Lunch, Tyler Burnett.
Welcome to episode 100 of the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing. Heavy Lunch is in Austin, Texas, with meetings with Flow Sports this week, holiday party tonight. D. Welch is, of course, in the Queen City of Charlotte, North Carolina. D. Welch, can you believe we have been through 100 episodes on Flow? It's pretty crazy.
It is crazy. It's, over 200 total now? So it's pretty insane.
It's like 4 years of working with you.
Yep.
Something like that. And when we worked together at MRN before we even started the podcast. So I don't know how we put up with each other that long, let alone do this show.
I don't either. It's one of seven wonders of the world.
Seven wonders of the world. Yes, it is. The amazing number, the amazing feat of 100 today, and we are welcoming on the show one of the biggest guests you can get in all of motorsports. That's Kyle Larson. Larson is coming on the show to talk about the High Limit Series, which he has been releasing a schedule. He and Brad Sweet, of course, started the series last year. They attempted to race two exhibition races. They had one at Lincoln Park Speedway that Buddy Kofoid won, but they have a 12 race schedule that they are planning this season. And D. Welch, of course, is going to be the voice of the High Limit Series. How excited are you for that series and to talk to Kyle about the anticipation of the racetracks he has on the schedule?
Yeah, I'm pumped. I mean, I'm just excited that there's another dirt racing series midweek. You know, that is obviously got a lot of money on the line. I mean, I think it's great for the sport. And for me to be able to be involved in it is awesome, because I've been trying to find a way to get back involved in dirt racing for a long time. And it just never works, obviously, because of my weekend travel schedule. So having this in the middle of the week is perfect for, for all of us. I mean, Kyle obviously is busy most weekends too. So it's cool for everybody. And I appreciate that, you know, they've brought me on to kind of be the one that leads the show. So it's pretty exciting.
Yeah. We're recording this on Wednesday, December 14th at 9 in the morning. Let's just put it this way. I was up a little too late last night, having a little too much fun with my friends at Flow Racing. But we're here. We're ready to do it. They have reached at this point, they have released six tracks. One of them that includes Eagle Raceway, which I'm really, really excited about. They have not had a 410 sprint car race since 2017. Just a lot of cool racetracks being added, you know, some of the ones that are in the Midwest, you know, like 34 Raceway, Lakeside, they kick it off there with 50 grand to win. Tracks that I've never been to and I'm excited to go to.
Yeah. And obviously Kokomo, you know, is on the list too, the tracks that they've released thus far. And we're going to talk to Kyle about the rest of the schedule. I mean, even though we're recording this today, obviously he knows the schedule and I do too. So we can talk about it. And there's some other, you know, some other really cool racetracks on there that people are familiar with, you know, some Pennsylvania racetracks. They're going to make a second stop in the Indianapolis area, which we'll talk to Kyle about too. And it's a great mix of, you know, traditional sprint car tracks that, you know, I think a lot of people are going to enjoy the diversity and, you know, kind of the excitement of going to some unique racetracks.
It's an interesting time in sprint car racing. There is no question about that. It really seems like the talk of the town has been, purse money, right? You know, will our drivers, you know, sprint car drivers, you know, start making more money? You know, the late model drivers have definitely been superior in this category, right? And both, and you, both of you and I know, D Welch, we don't think late model drivers are superior race car drivers to sprint car drivers, right? So, you know, a lot of the talk of the town this offseason has been the Outlaws banding together to hopefully, you know, get to race some of these races, right? I mean, this series doesn't want to race against the World of Outlaws, against the All-Stars. They want to race with the World of Outlaws, with the All-Stars, right? That's why they're making midweek shows and on the way to some of these racetracks. Because look, adding races to on an already tremendous national schedule is only going to benefit everyone in the sprint car landscape, right?
Yeah, and admittedly, I haven't compared or cross-referenced the high limit schedule to the All-Stars or the Outlaws or anything, so I don't even really know if they have any conflicts. I would imagine they don't, because that's not the point. But, you know, I think, too, you know, everybody can coexist peacefully. Like, I mean, you look at the Extreme Midgets and what USAC did. Like, there's two 30-plus race midget schedules on the national scale, and there's no overlap. Like, they worked together to build their schedules so that midget racers can go race 60 times a year on the national scale and go for both championships, you know, and that's how it can be in the wing sprint car world too. I think, you know, I think too, you know, like, times have changed. Like, the Outlaws, you know, long had this standard that the only place you could see the Outlaws race was going to an Outlaw race, which is still true to a certain extent. But I think with the advent of streaming and everything else, like, it's all just so much more accessible right now than it ever has been. So this concept of it being an exclusive thing has kind of been watered down a little bit. So let the guys go race, you know, if they want to, if they've got a 90 race schedule at the Outlaws, if they want to go race more and race for more money, you know, have at it. So, I'm glad that everybody has kind of, you know, started to kind of reach a common compromise and, you know, everybody is going to win from this, I think. So, it'll be great to be able to have some, you know, of those big name guys, at these high limit races, these midweek races. Like, it's only going to help that series, you know, gain more credibility. And it's obviously going to be great for us here at Flow to have, you know, some of those names racing on these midweek races too.
We typically do have Larson on the show around this time, right? In the December timeframe. And that's because we like to preview the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals. He is not racing the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals this year. And that is going to be probably a topic we discuss with him. He is actually going late model racing the exact same week in the desert at the Wild West Shootout, which Michael Rigsby and those at Flow are excited about that, right? Because Rigsby is part of that race and you know, to grow that race and to grow the viewership and to grow the people that, you know, come to that racetrack. It's cool to have Kyle Larson there. I'm a bit hurt, honestly. I personally think the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals is the biggest dirt race in the entire world. I don't care what it pays, right? It's prestige. That trophy means more in dirt racing than a lot, right? Like, if you think of just trophies in dirt racing, that's got to be one of the most famous ones there is. And you know, at one point, and I'll probably bring this up to Larson, right? Larson got in trouble at NASCAR for saying the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals was the biggest race he's ever won. And he had won a lot of big races that was not the Chili Bowl Midget Nationals, probably. So it's interesting. It's an interesting time. You know, I've had sidebar conversations with Larson that, you know, like, go as far as, if he would have won another one, right? If he would have won a third straight last year, he probably would have came back and went for four. Just because, you know, Swindell and Bell and these guys, you know, there's these names matter, right? And when you want to knock some of these guys off, but the fact that he didn't win, you know, he can kind of take a little bit of a break and potentially come back, you know, in the future. But it is interesting that, you know, Larson, who has been the name in that building, right, won't be there this year.
Well, I mean, obviously, and Bell is not on the entry list. I saw Keith Coons's cars were entered today or this morning. You know, the entry came out and Rico's not on that list. I haven't seen Tyler Courtney's name on the list, which, I mean, I think that was kind of expected too, that he wasn't going to run. But I mean, Chili Bowl's wide open this year. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, you're going to have I mean, you're going to have a legitimate shot. I mean, the guys that, traditionally, win on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I mean, they didn't last year. I mean, Rico did, but, Bell is always up front on Thursdays, finished second last year to Thorson on Thursday. He did win on Thursday. He won the prelim last year, didn't he? Yeah. And then Rico always wins Wednesday, and Larson's always in the mix on Tuesday. And so, those are three really big names on the prelim nights. And then obviously on Saturday too, that, are not going to four with Sunshine, that aren't going to be there. So, it's going to be an interesting Chili Bowl. And I think it's still going to be a tough race, and it's still going to matter to people that, to win that race, but you're missing a lot of the heavy hitters. There's no denying that.
As a racer, does that excite you?
To me, it's, I don't ever go into that building and expect to beat those guys anyways. So it's not like, it's not like it, I guess, makes that much difference to me. I mean, it's it opens the door, I think. I don't think there's any denying that it, for somebody like me who I feel confident in there and feel like I can race well in there, that, you maybe go in there with a little bit more optimism to have a better, run on your prelim night or something like that. But like, I mean, there's still going to be plenty of guys there that are going to be tough to beat. I mean, Thorson's back, Justin Grant's there. I mean, there, you can go down the list. There's plenty of guys there that are still going to be really tough to beat. So, while you don't have like the star power names, there's still plenty of good guys. So it's still going to be a hard race. It's still going to be, difficult to put a whole week together and be there on Saturday. So, I'm just excited to go back and have another shot at it.
Let's talk to Kyle Larson. He's already in the waiting room. Excited to get to talk to him. Then we'll come back after that and have our Sun Dollar Restoration Hashtags of the Week. This is episode 100 of the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow Racing.
What has to be without a doubt the most highly anticipated dirt racing event in the history of motorsports?
Indy 500, Daytona 500, Eldora Million.
Jonathan Davenport!
But this night, something special happened.
Here at Eldora Speedway, it's showtime!
I think in sprint car racing that ever so often, we have to give it a real boost.
Continued to carry Earl's vision and his history of creating big events. I mean, we've got some stuff up our sleeve that I don't think will shock anybody when we announce it.
Welcome back to episode 100 of the Loud Pedal Podcast. We promised Kyle Larson would join us. But we had to have you on the show 100 episodes, and we couldn't think of anybody else to have. So do you feel honored about that or no?
I do. I can't believe you guys have done 100. That's pretty sweet.
We're getting old, dude.
Big day.
We're getting old. We've done 100 on Flow, and we've done over 100 at NASCAR. So we have we're over 200 episodes total together. But 100 on Flow. So it's been a great partnership with them. And then we're excited, obviously to have you on the show to talk about the High Limit Series that you and Brad Sweet started last year and have slowly started to trickle out your schedule for the season this year. And we're going to talk about your whole schedule here. So, how excited are you to get to racing? I know, your first is going to be in March. You got a lot of work ahead of you.
It's definitely exciting. It's been a lot of work really too, to get all these schedules. I think more goes into it than fans probably realize, especially being midweek and trying to just factor in all the things, right? Travel for teams, which places can seat enough people for what we would need, all that sort of stuff. So it's been a lot of hard work, but I feel like we got to a point where, I love our schedule. It's got great racetracks, exciting tracks. I think that's going to produce great races at every one of them. So that's the main thing. And that's, what we're trying to build, midweek kind of compelling series where, you don't know who's going to win when you show up, you know, so there's a lot of tracks that are unique. So excited about it, excited to compete in all of them, and you'll get started.
I know looking at the schedule, there's probably a few of these tracks that are just tracks that you guys enjoy racing at. I mean, is that how you go through and kind of pick where you want to run? Is it just places that you and Brad have enjoyed running at, or how do you guys put that together?
Yeah, definitely. At least, you know, that's kind of where it starts out at. You're just listing like all of my favorite tracks and been trying to just look at all the different schedules that are out there and see where they fit in. And you know, it's like Eagle was by far my, you know, when we talked about this, this series, you know, close to a year ago, Eagle was the first track that popped into my head. So, love that we're able to get that on there. There's a lot of great tracks. You know, the only half mile we have is Lakeside, and that's a pretty exciting half mile. And then I think the rest of them too are just, tracks that you've seen highlights of, great finishes at every one of them. So, I truly believe, you know, anybody can show up and think that they have a shot to win at those style of tracks.
I looked at the schedule and I'm like, this is all the tracks that Larson have won on. But at the same time, I'm like, what track hasn't he won on? So
yeah, I've never been to Lakeside, so that'll be actually a new one for me. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, I'm looking at the rest of them. I finished second at Bridgeport, so I got a win there. But yeah, I guess the rest of them I have
one. That Eagle one is exciting, right? So they haven't had a sprint, 410 sprint car race since 2017. I believe you won there, right? It was in the 17 car, right?
Yeah, that was their first ever outlaw win as team owners. So probably one of the most exciting races I've been a part of, and such a fun trip. You know, that kind of came up last minute with Ricky, and we flew there last minute, mounted my seat, brought David Farrow with us, who helped out at the time on my cup car and has had a long career with KKR. And yeah, won an outlaw race at Eagle in a you know, brand new car for me, and was a wild race. So I'll never forget that one, you know, just getting to race for one of my best friends, Ricky, and bring them their first world outlaw win is cool. So yeah, since that time, you know, there hasn't been a 410 sprint car race, wing sprint car racer from, you know, what I recall. So glad that we could bring it back there. And as I mentioned, there's a ton of other good tracks as well.
Speaking of the Outlaws, I know that whole situation has been not a point of contention, but obviously, you know, something that has you guys have been working on to try to get them to cooperate with you guys and everybody can coexist peacefully. So the situation that you've got this year where the outlaw guys can race four or eight races outside of the outlaw banner, how big will that be for the high limit series just to potentially get some of those names competing in this series?
Yeah, no, I think it's great for us, but I think more importantly, it's great for the teams, you know, that they were able to get something. I think it would have been great if they had been allowed to run all of them, but it was a start, and I think, you know, allowing those teams to pick and choose not only just high limit races, but you know, as you've seen in the past, if there's a rain out, your teams maybe go to Knoxville to get a test in nationals or run Oskaloosa front row challenge. You know, you've seen Sheldon race at Wayne County before, so you know, there's opportunity for them to run other races outside of ours too. But you know, with the purses of ours, I think a lot of them will hopefully try and make their way to it, whether it be four or eight of them. I don't know, but and who knows, maybe there's some of the outlaw guys that just run more than them, so, or more than eight. So you know, it was nice of you, Brian Carter and World Racing Group to, you know, make some sort of change to their platinum agreement. And I know the teams have been fighting really hard for some freedom, and that's, you know, a small step forward towards that.
Yeah, and that freedom you're talking about, like, It's weird because like the late model guys with their group get that freedom, right? Like they can go run Lucas Oil races. They can go run other late model races, right? It seems like it's been more of like a sprint car issue in the past. And I mean, the motorsports headlines right now have been dominated by sprint car racing, right? And whether it's good or bad, we're talking about money. You know, have you had an off season like this where you can remember where sprint car racing has been talked about this much?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's just a lot of, you know, unknowns of things going forward, at least before the PRI show, of what was going to happen with the World Racing Group, with us, with other series and tracks. And I think that's where the buzz has come from. So no, it's great. It's great to see your fans talking about it, teams talking about it, talking about how excited they are to get to race for a lot more money throughout the year. So yeah, sprint car racing and really, you know, dirt track racing as a whole has been in a great spot. I feel like ever since, you know, COVID in 2020, and it seems like it trended up very quickly. So it's been cool to be a part of that and to help grow the sport. And I believe that it's not done. It's not even close to reaching its ceiling of where it could get to. So I'm happy to be a part of it. I know Brad is as well. And he's a visionary type of person. He's got dreams and big ideas. So I hope that we can pull some of those off, you know, down the road. I think some of the ideas that we've tried to come up with are probably 2 or 3 year projects, but it should be a lot of fun. And like I said, just trying to grow the sport.
What is you and his racing schedule? I mean, with the high limit deal, I mean, are you going to run all of them? Is he going to run some? What's that going to look like for you guys?
Yeah, my plan is definitely to run all of them, obviously. You with my schedule and testing and stuff, who knows? And maybe there's one or two that I might have to miss. But as of right now, yeah, I mean, all 12 are on my schedule, as well as, you know, a lot of other sprint car races also. I don't know about Brad yet. I think he's still trying to weigh it all and you know, kind of run the numbers of what it could be if he ran the whole thing versus 4 outlaw races or 8 outlaw races or however that may be, which I think a lot of the teams are probably going through right now. So at least the outlaw teams. So, but yeah, I think we'll just have to wait and see. I don't know, but they definitely gave the teams an option and stuff that they have to weigh. So they're really smart about that. And yeah, it's part of the business, I guess.
For sure. It's interesting timing, right? So you guys started the series last year, right? You also got Chico and kind of started to venture out, you know, past not just what you are as race car drivers, right? You won a cup championship. Sweet, you know, has now won multiple World of Outlaws championships. It seems like the timing is like, you know, we've accomplished, you know, at least what we want to behind the wheel of a race car. And it's now time to get back to the sport. Is that what it seems like?
Yeah, I think a little bit of that. I don't know if because of what we accomplished, we've sat down and be like, all right, now's the time to, we could do other things. But I just think, yeah, I mean, we're just maybe to a point in our careers and understand our platform and what we're able to reach and what we're able to do. And we love sprint car racing. You know, it's well, where Brad makes his whole livelihood from, and it's what got me to where I'm at. So I've always wanted to give back. I played around with the ownership side of things with the World Outlaws and Shane Stewart and Carson Macedo. And then that kind of ran its course. And then, yeah, just trying to kind of figure out what's next to give back. You know, I race a ton. So that's a little bit of it, but then I also want to see the sport get to a place down the road. I know it's, you know, not going to be overnight, but down the road where teams and drivers and in the sport gets the respect that it, you know, deserves, not only financially, but just overall in general, in a growth, you know, side of things with media and national media and all that, because it's kind of, to me, a hidden gem right now. You know, the racing is amazing. The competition's amazing. The crowds are really big at the racetracks. And Flo has done a great job of growing that sport. I think, you know, live stream in general has grown, helped grow the sport a lot. I think there's some fans that have negative opinions on live stream and what it's done to the attendance at racetracks. But if they would just go to a track, they would realize that these places are as sold out as I can remember in my career of sprint car racing. So it's been going in the right direction, but I want to, you know, Brad and I both want to keep it going and try and bring new ideas to the sport and kind of try and make it reach more globally.
So I'm not asking you to give away all your secrets and future plans unless you want to, but I mean, what kind of things are you guys brainstorming or what does this look like down the road? How do you grow it to satisfy kind of what you want it to become, if that makes sense?
Yeah, I think originally, and you know, with our series and a little bit of our schedule, what people thought of our schedule was that it was going to be mostly kind of Midwest to East Coast central based. And I think, you know, with us doing the Tulare race in March, I think that was a way for us to not only give back to the California fans and teams, you know, that have lost the spring outlaw dates, but you have them race for great money early in the year and get the fans excited. But I think that was good to show that we're not just sticking to the Midwest and East Coast. You know, we're looking at doing races not only in the United States, but outside this country. And I think that's what you have to do to help grow the sport. So, you know, who knows if where it will go, but I would love to get us to race in, you know, Europe or something. And I think there's already a huge fan base for sprint cars there with their stock car series that look a lot like sprint cars. So would love to somehow get there and race in the future. And I think there's a lot of, you know, even bigger ideas that go along with that. So we'll see, but that's like I said, Brad's a big thinker. So, and I've put a lot of thought into that as well and how to make it cool, but we'll see where it goes.
There's no question that your guys' series has really started to alter what sprint car racing in the landscape looks like. Right. But how much did, like, what your season was in 2020 and what Brent Marks did last year, you know, and Anthony Macri, you know, they won more money than the outlaw guys without racing an outlaw schedule. Like, how much has that really kind of opened the eyes to some of these teams? Like, look, you know, we can race pretty much anywhere and chase the money and make money.
Yeah, no, I think it's, well, I mean, it's happened, yeah, as you mentioned, the last couple of years. So, I don't know if I believe that's like the coolest thing. I want Brent Marks and Anthony Macri and I want all the best drivers to be on a traveling series racing for the best money. I would love to see your top earners be full-time traveler series type guys. So although it is cool that, you know, they can still have their normal day-to-day life in their hometown and in their home state racing for great money. But me coming from, you know, racing in NASCAR, like, those are the best stock car racers in the world. And I would love to, you know, see sprint car racing get to back to a point where the best sprint car racers are on a traveling tour. But with that, I think, you know, it's got to make sense financially and all that. So not only financially, but personally, with where their lives are at and stuff too. But yeah, I mean, what Brent Marks did last year was spectacular. He had an amazing season. And, but that's hard. That's really hard for somebody to do. And you don't typically see it. Normally your top earners are on the Outlaw Tour because, they are the best, but, for whatever reason, last couple of years, myself and Brent had hit on something and won all the big races.
All right, before we let you go, I feel like we got to talk to you about Chili Bowl, and just because we have you on here. So you're going to go run the late model in Votto in New Mexico instead of running Chili Bowl. So just, I guess, in your own words, now that you have a platform now, to just kind of explain people why you made that decision and why you're going to go run the late model?
Yeah, I think, you know, cause I had talked about the payout a lot, and I think it got a lot of negative reaction from it, but that was kind of the only thing I spoke on in the, well, you know, a couple interviews I did. But I don't know if people realize, like, I'm 30 years old and I've ran the Chili Bowl 15 years. Half of my life I've spent racing at the Chili Bowl, just racing. I've been there two or three other years as a fan. So I've just gotten to the point in my life and in career where I want to just go experience other things. And that's not me saying I will never be back at the Chili Bowl. I've not said that. I think, you know, this motto thing has popped up and I've paid attention to it throughout the week at Chili Bowl. And now that I've raced late models, I just want to try something different. I see how, you know, the crowd is tiny there. So again, like I want to try and grow motorsports or help. And I feel like with me being at Botto, it can help grow that event into something, you know, and two, I mean, I think a lot of people, when I talk about the purse of the Chili Bowl, they think that I'm greedy and it's all about me. It's nothing, like, it's not about me. It could pay 50, 200 grand. Like, I don't care. Like, I just, it's not like, who's to say I'm going to go win the Chili Bowl? I'm going to go win all that. It's about, you know, me trying to help the other teams out, and make it a more, you know, kind of financially viable week for them. You know, there's not a single team or person that goes to that event that makes money, or even gets close to breaking even. So, I think it's just gotten to a point, you know, that race has been going on for so long and has done a great job. But I think the teams and drivers deserve a little bit more. I'm not saying a lot more, but just to see some sort of trend upwards in the purse. But and again, it's not about me. It's about trying to help the other teams. So and two, you know, Emmett has done an amazing job, the whole Hahn family, of growing that event into what it is. And they deserve to make a lot of money on it, because they've sacrificed so much to get it to where it's at. But so have the teams. So I love the Chili Bowl. I've not once said I don't like the Chili Bowl. You can see it in my reactions of when I won. So it's a great event, and I will definitely be back there, whether it's next year, the year after, or who knows, further down the road. But just want to do something different. Like, and who knows, next year I could maybe not race at all that week. You know, I might go skiing with my family. It's just it's a long week, and it gets longer as the car count gets bigger. So, I'll be tuned in every night and watching and probably freezing my butt off a little bit in New Mexico, but, still paying attention to it and having fun doing what I'm doing in the late model also.
On behalf of Dylan, I want to thank you for not racing on Tuesday night. So he doesn't have to race against you.
I ran Thursday last year.
Oh, did you? So, yeah. I thought you were a Tuesday night guy.
I usually am.
Yeah.
It's funny because
who you run for, Chad?
No, Abacus.
Oh, good. Yeah, they've been fine.
Yeah, they've been good.
They got some good cars. It's funny because when that article came out, you know, about you talking about the purse of the Chili Bowl, right? Like, I feel like you probably, unrightfully so, earned some negative press from that, right? You know, a lot of people forget the fact that you actually got in trouble with NASCAR for saying that Chili Bowl win was the biggest of your career, you know, like that you always have strived. That was the biggest race you wanted to win, right? And like, Bell was kind of in the same boat. Like, he grew up in Oklahoma. That's the race he wanted to win, no matter the money, right? Like, do you feel like you're going to like be jonesing for it at all? I mean, because like you said, you haven't been in that, you know, missed that race your whole life. Like, do you feel like, you know, you're going to be in Votto and like, why the heck am I here?
No, not at all. Like I said, I've been racing the Chili Bowl for 15 years. So, And I've told, and you can ask friends of mine and other people, and they never believe me, but I always said I was going to run the Chili Bowl until I won, and then run it until I lost, and I lost, and now I'm going to go do something different. So, I'm sticking to that. But I don't think that I will be like itching to be in Tulsa or anything like that, but, I'm sure there will be moments on Saturday where it's like, man, I wish I was rolling down that ramp, getting ready for 55 high intensity laps going for my third Chili Bowl. But, it's just a long week, and, it's a long week away from doing other things and, you know, all that. So, again, I will be back someday, just not this year. I just want to experience other things. So, it's a cool event. Just ready to try something different.
Is that mentality it's interesting to me listening to you talk about this, just your mentality of kind of wanting to give back to the sport and help the teams, help the drivers. Like, is that something that you've always been kind of passionate about, or just given your platform now, is that something that you've kind of realized you have an opportunity to do and to give back? Like, how has that kind of started to become a thought process in how you live your life?
Yeah, no, I think it's kind of morphed into like the sport as a whole. But before I ever even made it to NASCAR, you know, I'd always kind of told my dad and had it in my mind that, you know, I wanted to, if I ever made it to NASCAR, kind of help a younger guy try and make it themselves. And, you know, when I made it to NASCAR, you know, with the help of Justin Marks and starting the sprint car team and, you know, getting Shane Stewart to kind of lay the groundwork down for our team, then it made me really proud to be able to give Carson Macedo his first shot, you know, on the Outlaw Tour, and look where he's at now. I mean, he's going to be a multi-time World Outlaw champion someday. So that's really cool. And then, you know, things just didn't work out with that and whatever thing happened in 2020. So, but then again, you know, I even before that, I noticed kind of my impact on the sport as a whole and growing it and just my reach. And here lately with the opportunity and Brad's ideas, I feel like I can help grow the sport, not through the ownership side, but I guess on the series and promotion side. And I think that's a good thing. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. It's been stressful at times and a little bit of work at times, but a lot more on Brad's side of it. So, he enjoys that too. So no, it's cool. I think fans appreciate it. Fans see what we're trying to do. And obviously the team owners and drivers, love it. So yeah, it's just, trying to make the sport a little healthier and just grow it really. Yeah. I think it deserves to be bigger than just, you know, Australia and United States and try and get it to a point where it can reach globally.
For sure. I'll get you out of here. You know, thanks for everything. You know, we worked all summer together, right, on this series that's getting ready to come out on Flow. I'm really excited about. It's called Dirt. It's an awesome film that, you know, centers around you, but also the characters in the sport with Justin Grant and Timez and Tyler Courtney. And one of the things that really impacted me the most through that series is when I interviewed your dad at Eldora, talking about what this series kind of means to you, to the career of you. But also, you know, what it means to him. And he was very emotional about the fact that, like, look, this is a huge part of his legacy, and it's going to be a huge part of his legacy, even more so than those teams, right? Like that you had for Macedo, because you're not just giving to one person now, you're giving to a lot of people, right? And that means a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. I haven't seen that part of the documentary or whatever the series with my dad in it, but yeah, no, I think he's right. I think hopefully if we do a good job with this, for Brad and I both, we've talked about, you know, this is, you know, when we hopefully both end up in the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame someday, you know, this is a big part of why we're in it. So this is just the start, and I hope that we can do a good job and grow it. And I hope the fans really appreciate it.
And also us sprint car guys and midget guys are pretty upset with you for going late model racing, but that's okay. I mean, you know, that driller means a lot, but you can go have your phone, I guess.
Yeah, no, it'd be a good time. And yeah, no, like I said, I just want to, I love what Chris Kearns does, and he's I think one of the best promoters in the business. And I just want to do my best to try and help grow that event. It's an awesome facility. Royal Jones has done a great job with that place, and they've worked extremely hard to try and build that event into something. So try and help out where I can, and at least see it trend upwards and see more than a couple hundred people in the grandstands.
I saw Audrey's racing now. Is Owen going to the shootout?
No, we tried making that work, but just with, you know, Caitlin, she's going to be our baby's due anytime really in the next couple weeks. So hopefully that comes soon. But I think if it wasn't for that, Owen and I would definitely be at the shootout. So maybe next year. But just with how close it was to the due date and Christmas, it being, you know, right after Christmas, just wasn't going to work out this year. So he wants to race there so bad. He's out in the junior sprint and with Chad. He really enjoys Chad. And so, yeah, I would like to get to the shootout next year with him. And for sure, if he's there, I'll be racing, I'm sure, every division I can. And then, yeah, Audrey, she's tested her go-kart one time, and she had a really good time doing it. And she throttled it pretty well. So she doesn't have much fear. So, that's good. And then we got another son coming. So we just got, you know, full of racers, maybe down the line here.
A lot going on in your life. Thanks for coming on the show, man. Always good to talk to you, and congratulations on everything that's going on. Again, Dirt is coming out this year. The High Limit Series has, 12 races that you need to get to around the country. Kyle Larson, good luck in Votto. Racing against the late model guys.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate it.
Kyle Larson, everyone, part owner of the High Limit Series with his brother-in-law, Brad Sweet. They have 12 races, D. Welch, and we didn't really go through all of the races. So why don't you do that real quick? You know, he told you the schedule. So they're going to start with an exhibition race in March at Tulare. And then what are the 11 points races?
Yeah. And so they'll have Lakeside, 34, Kokomo, Wayne County, Granite City, and Eagle. And then at least the schedule I have is Grandview, Huset's, Lernerville, Bridgeport, and then Putnamville. So there's some workings in the mix, I think, for maybe some other Indy area races, but I don't know if that'll be this year or next year, but I know that was important for them to obviously hit that market. So great schedule, and love Kyle's thoughts and his desire to just kind of help grow racing in general, not even just midgets and sprint car racing, but that's why he's, going to run this late model race, because he wants to help, grow that side of the sport too, and give it some exposure. So he's become a great ambassador for this sport, I think it's super cool.
Yeah. Obviously, what did I say a couple episodes ago? We need to get him on here and grill him about the Chili Bowl, right? And then he comes out with this answer that's this and this and this, and has such a thoughtful answer. And I'm like, well, I can't grill him now. He's got three or four good solid reasons as to why he didn't want to race the Chili Bowl this year. And he's probably gonna be back, right? And like I said in the open, he has told me that before. He wanted to race it until he was done winning it, and then he was gonna take a break and then, hopefully come back. So yeah, I'm excited about all the things of course surrounding Kyle Larson and what he's done, not only to help grow Flow Racing, but the partnership that we've had with them, with their series, and what we've done with this film. There's just a lot of good content coming out that you guys are going to really, really eat up, and all of the racing world is going to eat up, and I'm really excited for you all to see it. So good to have Larson on episode 100. Let's get into our Sundollar Restoration Hat Shakes of the Week, brought to you by Sundollar. I saw your car, D. Welch, the design of your Chili Bowl car, and there is a Sun Dollar logo on the top of it. There is also, breaking news, a Hat Shake logo on the car. We did it. It took Brett Cox to get it done. It's so awesome.
I know, and I was gonna give my hat shake to him because he actually did it. So he we're gonna have hats flying all over the place at Chili Bowl because of Brent Cox. So
seriously, no, and actually we're gonna have our Hat Shake logo on Daniel Whitley's car too. I'm super excited about because that dude is a gasser. You know, not saying you're not, right? But you know,
no, he does stand on the gas.
I'm going to be partying so hard in your guys' you know, area just because like I'm so excited. Like Brent Cox is just an awesome dude. So yeah. All right, so that's your Sun Dollar Hat Shake.
Sure, let's give him one. He finally got it done.
All right. Mine is some guy at the bar last night that I gave $5 to draw this picture of me. Look at that. I didn't even ask him, right? So, like, I'm just sitting there leaning up against the bar, obviously. And he's just, I don't know. He must have just been like a, you know, I don't know if he was a homeless guy or if he, like, was just hanging out there or what. But I could tell that he wanted like something for it. But when I picked it up, I'm like, dude, that looks so good.
The shocking
just
thing
by is a you're pen.
Wearing, the shocking thing is that you're wearing the exact same clothes that you were wearing in this picture. So you apparently haven't changed your clothes since last night.
No, I woke up and threw the sweatshirt back on, of course. Yeah. nice calling that out on me, but that's a Miller Lite next to me right there, of course. But
of course, yeah.
Isn't that good though?
That's pretty impressive.
If you're listening, I'm sorry, you're gonna have to go to flowraising.com to see what that looks like. Maybe I'll tweet it out, but yeah, that's pretty damn impressive in my opinion. And my mom's an artist, so to impress me, it's just the fact that he took 10 minutes and drew that thing without even me knowing and then just handed it to me. And I'm like, holy cow. No, Austin, Texas is really cool. It's a really cool city. A lot of cool bars. Darwin's, we went there last night. It's an awesome piano bar. But yeah, that's my hat shake. Cause that guy who drew that picture, for me and, Sweet and Larson for releasing their schedule and, you know, letting us go high limit racing this year. I'm pumped, baby. I'm gonna have to go to Lakeside. I'm gonna have to go to Lakeside for 50 grand.
Yep, I know. Nothing like starting the year off with 50 grand to win.
I know. So sundollar.net is where you can find our friends, Kim and Jason, great people. Of course, supporting D. Welch's Racing, also Zeb Wise, and a few others in the motorsports industry. You can visit them at sundollar.net. They'll put a roof on your house, water, fire, mold restoration in the greater Indianapolis area. All right, we have less than a minute. Make sure you play dirtdraft.com. Our friends over there, they're great people, and they have awesome games that you can play as far as fantasy racing games. D. Welch, episode 100. Can you believe it?
About that. Cross flags on the – or checkered flag on the 100th episode.
Man, it's been a wild one. Thanks for listening. This has been episode 100 of the Loud Pedal Podcast on Flow.